Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode.
What the hell? Stop it. Why would it do that? I have no idea. This is the one we want. Let's go. All right, we're on it. Hey, thanks. I don't know what the hell happened there. Oh, jeez. Anyway, this is Doc Mike. This is the Discerning Observer show. Thanks so much for joining me live. It's going to be the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. We're going to get to some, I don't know. Man, the world is a crazy place. Seriously. It really is crazy. It's hard to keep up. So I got introduced to some things today. I got to see some AI. Was it AI, do you think? Cartoonish stuff. It's kind of crazy how good that is. Hey, I want to get through this intro. I got to do that. I'm just a guy shining light on the darkness. This is a freedom lover's opinions on current events. Hey, could y'all please post any social media sites that you are on that we are live and we have a chat room, bring people in, let's have some discussion. And while I'm on that subject, just to give you an idea of what's in the chat room. And thank you for posting, Java Doctor. What did he put here? Brain implant startup backed by Gates and Bezos is testing mind control computing on humans. The system is implanted through the blood vessels rather than open brain surgery or burr holes. Now, so just think about that a minute. So basically what they're saying is they can control your brain by stuff, let's say nanoparticles, that they put in your blood that are guided to, let's say, build themselves once they're in your blood. Does that sound familiar at all over the last 3 years? Okay, but, you know, I'm sure this didn't have anything to do with, you know, the experiment on the entire human population over the last 3 years. It also Java Doctor posted South Africa. He's just posting links to other stories, I think. Yeah. South Africa was the first modern nation to be founded on the anti-white principles of critical race theory, and now it is reaping the results of that choice. South Africa experiences 57 murders a day. Waves of riots and violence are nonstop. There are severe water shortages and electrical blackouts. Yep, welcome. Get ready. It's coming our way soon, I'm sure. Hang on one sec. Okay, I went back to the very oldest camera I have, and I've tested it all week. Like, I had it on for hours just seeing if it would stay on, and it's staying on. So I might have to buy another one of these. I kept thinking, you know, the better camera would be better, and it's not. This camera is probably going to be the workhorse. Oh, gosh. Anyway. Okay, back to the intro. Behind the woodshed every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. That's how Anthony, he does a two-hour show nonstop, packed full of information. You got to see him. Wait, one more second. Oh, I don't know if it'll be much different. I mean, it looks kind of the same, but it is a little different. I mean, I don't know. We'll see, okay? Anyway, Hal Anthony, Behind the Woodshed, every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 hours, packed full of information. The guy doesn't stop, doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a drink. Nothing for 2 hours straight. I don't know how he does it, but it's awesome, and you should pay attention and listen to it. He's always got some great information, and I really enjoy it. You can catch Right on the Left Coast. It's the Ravenwood Homestead Show. Catch it on Wednesday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on Real Liberty Media. And, of course, you can catch all these shows. You can go to Real Liberty Media, download the podcast, listen, see our show notes. You can go to BitChute and Rumble where you can see some video. Hal doesn't do video. I guess I'm the only one doing video right now. But, yeah, you can go there and check everything out. See for yourself. Except for this week, which I know last week on the Homestead Show, I said next week we are going to have a live show. Well, I forgot that I'm going to training Wednesday night. It's not required training, but I go to it because I need a certain number of continuing dental education hours every 2 years, and this one's free, so it's definitely worth it to go and get the hours and free meal and kind of get to, you know, exchange, have conversations with other docs. Hey, by the way, so this week, the doc who comes in on Wednesdays at my office, one of the days I'm not there, he does exams. And I'm not going to use his name or anything. It'd be easy to find out. I'm not going to reveal anything that people don't know. But so he had a stroke last year, and I had a heart attack last year, and we hadn't really, our paths don't cross because he comes on days I'm not there. So he asked me how I was doing, because Wednesday I went in and did that root canal on my daughter. And so we had this conversation that was so interesting, because I explained to him the entire two-year history of my, of my health, that I could prove that I was healthy the 2 years prior to having the heart attack. And he was just listening very intently, and when I got done, you know, I gave him the punchline. I said, well, so, you know, I think the vaccine did it. And he goes, yeah, I think the vaccine caused my stroke too. He had his stroke less than a month after he had the vaccine. So his probably much more easily, you know, related to the vaccine, although I think, and I actually read a story just today that people who've had the vaccine and have the spike proteins are walking time bombs. There is one bit of good news. Oh, the holy grail of COVID. Here it is. The holy grail of COVID-19 spike protein detoxification. And I think I talked about this a couple shows ago. But it's this natokinase, and I'm going to pronounce it like that so you can kind of get the spelling. It's natokinase. It's an enzyme produced by fermenting soybeans with the bacteria Bacillus subtilis variant natto, and has been available as an oral supplement. So you can order this up. And it's actually, so apparently, you know, it is the boss at detoxing the spike protein. And I actually think I read an article a week ago, or whenever I talked about this, it probably would have been a week or two ago. And what this enzyme does is it basically unfolds the spike protein and holds it so that it can't enter cells. And of course, the spike protein, the mRNA, has to get inside cells so that your cells can reproduce it. So this keeps that from happening, and then your body gets rid of it because, you know, it's trash, and your body's good at taking the trash out. So let's get back to the notes here. Because what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So both of us kind of agreed that the vaccine is what caused our issues, both of us. And, you know, and I did kind of tell him, you know, because we were both kind of just having this conversation like old friends. We hadn't seen each other in a long time. And I said, yeah, I said, you know, the medical field and the scientific field really let everybody down. And I think he was actually going to try and make some kind of defense for those people. Like, well, you know, they kind of had to do what they had to do. Like us, like he and I both. I mean, I don't know what his exact reasoning for getting the jab was, but he did say, you know, that people were waiting, you know, on the docks to get jabbed so that they could go back to work. You know, and I mean, you feel a little bit of responsibility for other people to work, which I shouldn't. I mean, I should be really selfish. I should have been and just said, screw it, I'm not doing it. They would have been taken care of. It's kind of funny. So Oregon just this week, believe it or not, Oregon just announced that you will no longer have to wear masks in medical facilities or pharmacies anymore. But it doesn't go into effect until April something. Oregon's just absolutely the worst state. I'm not kidding, man. We have the dumbest bastards, the absolute dumbest bastards in charge of this state and the politics. It's ridiculous. Oh, God, I just wish there was a nonviolent way to get rid of them. But I fear there's not. I think it's going to be ugly whenever that time comes. And speaking of that, man, on the Homestead Show, we got so much going on. I am going to post some things this week. We'll do a little video update of the hydroponic units. The sun oven, I think, is coming. Anyway, look for posts on the Homestead Show right on the left coast. And because I'm not going to be here Wednesday, but I know people enjoy that stuff. I can see the numbers on Rumble and BitChute. Mainly BitChute. I don't know why BitChute does so well, but I'm happy to be there and happy that they have that service and happy that they keep doing it even though they're under attack. So, you know, if you check me out on BitChute or Rumble, please, you know, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, do something so that they continue to see that people are going there to get their information. I personally don't even care to benefit in one way or another from anything I post. I'm fine financially. I don't need money or anything like that. I just want to support businesses that support free speech and living freely. So please support them by giving a little thumbs up, show them that, you know, you'd like more of that kind of content, my kind of content, whether it's a Homestead Show or this like current events show. Okay, so back to, let's just wrap up. So the whole idea, Doc and I were talking, came to the same conclusion, you know, and yeah, I think we both feel a little stupid for, you know, putting our lives in jeopardy like that. And I really didn't get a chance to talk to him much about detoxing, but I did tell him about detoxing from the spike protein. I don't know if he'll do it or not, but at least he has the information, right? So this week I didn't have any real died suddenly entries. I mean, there were plenty of them, but I just, I don't know why I laughed, because I just looked at my next topic, brain dead isn't disqualifying, Feinstein and Fetterman. That's really horrible, and I really want to tell you. So, died suddenly is kind of a little segment I do where I take some 20-year-old that croaked because they had the vaccine. I mean, let's put it out there. There's so many young people dying. It's so much higher than it ever was pre-vaccine. We all know that it's due to vaccine injury and, you know, endocarditis and blood clots and all that other stuff. So let's quit ignoring the obvious that that's what's killing these young people. But in the next article, you know, they say Fetterman might be brain dead. I've seen a couple kind of discussions about this, that Fetterman might be brain dead. Fetterman's the guy who ran in Pennsylvania, and he, I don't know how he did this, but he beat, you know, everybody who ran against him, and he literally was brain damaged from a stroke, and now they're saying... Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you. I will send him some info links on in email. But Fetterman may be brain dead. I don't know if this has been verified or not, but he's in trouble, man. He was hospitalized. He never took the time to recover. You know, I don't know if you saw the interviews that people did with him where they were talking about, you know, that he couldn't actually understand speech, that he had to have, you know, some closed captioning, you know, presented in text. He had to be given time to read the text. And then his responses were just horrible. Like, not necessarily appropriate answers to the questions that were asked. And I truly feel sorry for the guy. I really do. Because... think about it. Like, he's probably no different than Doc and I in a way, you know, letting other people make decisions for him whether or not he was going to continue or not. But unfortunately, he didn't have good family members to tell him, hey, look, you can run later. Let's get you healthy and, you know, take time to recover. And he didn't. You know, and as much as we talk about how freaking, you know, worthless politicians are, it's still pretty busy job and probably pretty damn high stress job. And I think the last thing you need when you are already have suffered a heart attack or stroke is probably stress. Probably you could do without some stress in your life. And Feinstein has some kind of sexually transmitted disease. Oh yeah, shingles. I guess that's not actually sexually transmitted, maybe. It is a herpes simplex virus. So I guess we could just for fun call it a sexually transmitted disease. The sequela of a sexually transmitted disease. I'm just making fun now. But she was hospitalized too. Oh, Pebbles is going to make a showing here. Let's see if she actually gets in front of the camera. Nope. Just in front of the browser where I can't see. That's okay. She's good. Hi, baby cat. Hey, little girl. Oh, anyway, so back to the notes. Fetterman's in trouble, man. So sad. And then this story, this is awesome, man. So study shows a common sweetener linked to heart attack, but don't worry too much, experts say. So what's funny about this is that all of a sudden, you know, I'm sure they're looking out for anything that they could blame heart attacks and strokes on. And I actually saw some comments about this story where they were like, well, you know, there's so many heart attacks in young people now and so many young people dying of heart attacks, they got to start pointing the finger somewhere else. So this erythritol is naturally produced in our bodies, it says. It's a widely used artificial sweetener, increasingly used in many processed and low-carb foods. Artificial sweeteners like erythritol are generally recognized as safe. I don't know why they would call them safe, but okay. You know, watching the other homesteaders, I'm going to get off base here a little bit because I should save it for the homestead show, but I'm telling you, just eat good food. Just eat real food, honestly. Anyway, so they're trying to link this erythritol to heart attacks and strokes and other health ailments, which of course, I mean, come on, man. If you just eat the food that is grown, that naturally occurs in its native state, you'll be much healthier. Do all of us do it? No. Do some people do it? Yeah. Do some people do it and still die young? Yeah. It happens. You just got to make your choices, man, and do whatever is best for you. By the way, those damn carrots I started fermenting, they smell so good. Like, I have to burp the jar every day, and it smells so good, literally. I mean, it's just like I want to dig in, but it's only been like a week, and I think it's a two-week process. So, you know, I'm going to make sure, give it some time. Oh, I hit the same freaking link again. And, of course, take away the tried and true. Oh, I got to move it up a little bit. Come on, baby. You know, take away tried and true remedies, you know, things that we're all aware have worked for years and years. And I'm not saying y'all should take aspirin, but I'm saying, you know, for years it's been a practice that people have taken aspirin to reduce the possibility of heart attacks and strokes. Well, now aspirin's becoming a target. And this person said, well, I cannot prove it. I suspect aspirin has been and still is the target of a discrediting campaign for the simple reason that it competes with newer, far more expensive blood thinners and pain relievers. Stick with natural remedies to be safe. But come on, aspirin? I mean, Jesus. You know, it's been around for, what, a couple hundred years or maybe more if you consider the natural tree that it comes from. People have been using it for forever. But anyway, so yeah, is aspirin the target of a discrediting campaign? Obviously. You know, because of course, it's kind of funny, after I have my heart attack, I'm on what they call dual anticoagulant therapy, DACT, D-A-C-T, DACT. And that's a Plavix and an aspirin. It's basically what it is. Got to take one adult aspirin and Plavix, the new blood thinner. I don't know if it's expensive or not, but, you know, aspirin works. And actually, I took aspirin for years before I had that heart attack. So, yeah, they're trying to, you know, take out more, you know, standard regimens, the ones that people could rely on, like ivermectin. You know, give them a bad name, make you think you need the other stuff. So I wanted you to see this story because I've talked about this a few times. And it's kind of funny. You're gonna see this. I'm telling you, you're going to see this for the next, I don't know how many months. Well, until they start running out of water. Parts of California out of drought after recent rain and snow. But I want you to look at this. I'm just going to put the map up here. Oh, look at that, how it fits so nicely right next to my head. So if you look at this map, like, it shows the white area are the areas that are no longer in drought. So out of this gigantic state, you can see how small that area is, and here along the coast, of course. But here's the deal. This is pretty temporary, and it's kind of a shame that anybody is actually putting out this information, because it's so temporary. It's so transitional that by this summer you're going to hear about water shortages in California, because California does a horrible job of retaining water in water reservoirs, like artificial reservoirs. Right now, California looks like it's out of a drought in some areas because they've had a lot of rain. Of course, trillions of gallons of it has run straight off into the Pacific Ocean, and then probably billions of inches of rain and snow are just packed in the snowpack. Some of it went to the reservoirs. I hope some of the reservoirs are flat filled up completely. They need it every year. They run out of water, and they're going to this year. I guarantee they are going to run out of water this year. They haven't had that much rain and snow. Yeah, it's been a ton. It has been a ton. And if they did better at preserving this water, they'd be in good shape, but they don't. It just runs back off into the ocean. So right now, things are looking good. So, of course, everybody's going to talk about how, you know, parts of California are out of a drought. But look how many parts of California are still in severe drought. Here, this color here, this kind of darker orange is severe drought. That whole northern part of California, this whole southern, probably that's a desert part of California. And then yellow is abnormally dry, and then that kind of tannish is severe drought, moderate drought. So you have abnormally dry, moderate drought, and severe drought over, what, I would say 80% of the state. So some parts is actually a very small part of California, all told, that is going to have water, and it's temporary, and it's kind of sad because California grows a ton of food, and what we need right now is food, man, access to tons of food, and we're just not. It's not going to be there, unless you do it yourself. But anyway, I just wanted to point this out because, you know, I get caught by the headline too. Parts of California out of drought after recent rain and snow. And then I see the map and I'm like, huh, okay. All right, that little bit of California right there. I mean, San Francisco is right here. So, I don't know, Sacramento and maybe Nevada is right in here. I mean, Nevada, Lake Tahoe. So, you know, there's some parts that are going to have some water, but don't hold your breath because I don't think you're going to have it for long. Oh gosh. And this Gardasil, you know what? So today I was reading a story about this, as a matter of fact, this comes right out of the chat room again. Let me see. Where is that story? Oh, come on. I know it was in the chat room. Lab-grown meat backed by Bill Gates has cancer cells and may cause scary health issues, right? And I mean, I've said before about GMOs, kind of the same thing, is you can't put those things in DNA and not expect them to have adverse effects on your health. But the meat that they're growing, you know, lab grown meat, has cancer cells in it. And of course it has cancer cells in it, because one definition of cancer cells is that they grow out of control, right? They're growing out of control. There's no control issue. That's why cancer spreads like crazy. So there's nothing to stop it. Well, we have things to stop it, but we won't actually utilize them because we don't want to we don't want to heal people. We want to keep them sick and on drugs until they die. So we maximize the amount of money we make on them, right? I mean, that is one theory, and it's a theory that I believe in. But here's a Gardasil secret ingredient. I was going to talk about this later, actually, but I'm going to just talk about this a little bit right now. Medical practitioners in 9 countries submitted samples of Gardasil to be tested for human papillomavirus DNA because they suspected that residual recombinant HPV, human papillomavirus DNA, left in the vaccine might have been a contributing factor leading to unexplained post-vaccination side effects. So think about it. So here is a Gardasil, which is what, I forget what the hell this is a vaccine for. Oh yeah, human papillomavirus. And the reason is because HPV is actually responsible for a hell of a lot of cancers or tumors, both. Got to get a drink. So it's actually, you know, being promoted by a lot of people. I think human HPV is also responsible for a lot of cervical cancers. It just creates a lot of different kinds of cancers. So, of course, you know, the goal would be to vaccinate everybody from the human papillomavirus to prevent future cancers, which, you know, kind of this always throws me into that space where I start thinking, okay, like, are we actually trying to save people or not? Because, you know, people talk all the time about reducing the population in the world, the climate can't take this many people. We got to reduce the population. We have to, you know, have less pollution. We got to use less energy. We have to do all of this stuff because there's too many people in the world. But then we carry on trying to, well, if you survive the first 9 months of your life from conception to birth, and for some short period after you're born, where some states still will legally kill you. If you get past that stage, then I guess it's like, oh, well, we gotta, you know, well, we can't let kids, you know, use vapes, and we can't let kids smoke, and we can't let them drink, and we can't let them, you know, drive cars and all that stuff, and we can't let them get human papillomavirus. Pop will drop on its own already an issue in. Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, the population will. I mean, we've already crippled the population in so many countries, it's not even funny. And, of course, they're just finding out what the, you know, possible complications of not reproducing are. That could be pretty big. But anyway, so, you know, here you're putting, you know, HPV DNA actually in a vaccine, literally just not any different than this COVID jab did, is actually put parts of the virus in your body, and then your body literally built the spike protein, and look at the problems that has caused. I mean, this whole field is just seems like it's way too new and has not been tested enough to allow this stuff to go out in the public. This also got my attention, this next story, and I'll tell you why. It was kind of crazy. So basically, foreign agents gained access to the Do Not Fly list after the latest hack. Oh, but wait until I get to the next story, which, well, most of my audience will just be, yeah, that figures. But some people are going to be like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you literally have to be kidding me. But anyway, so if you think that, you know, we have the ability to actually, I'm going to move this over a bit. Let me see here. Let's just move. Oh, yeah. Maybe not. Nope. We're going to leave it as it is. Too bad. You're just not going to get part of the heading. I know you guys don't care anyway. You'll get the idea. Foreign agents gain access to the Do Not Fly list after the latest hack. So now think about this. This is our government's complete lack of ability to protect information. The Do Not Fly list, I'm fairly certain, is a federal Department of Justice controlled database on who they will allow and not allow to fly. And this in a story broken in by The Spectator, a 23-year-old transgender Swiss hacker named Maya Arson Krimu, who uses it, its, and she, her pronouns, was able to get the list in a matter of hours. Wow, that's some great protection there. Our federal government, who you think, I'm just going to put this out there, so you think they're going to be able to protect the power grid or protect your social security information? They absolutely are building a digital database with your health information and your social security and everything else, you know, one number, one database. If you saw last week's show when I talked about Benjamin Netanyahu, maybe I didn't. Man, I should have if I didn't. Oh my gosh, I really should. I'll cover that in a future show. I'll try and remember. He was so proud of the fact that Israel had a database with every 98% of its citizens listed in this database. Their digital medical record was in this database. Benjamin Netanyahu said he was actually happy to be able to provide that information to Pfizer so that Pfizer would give them the jab to get them out of this pandemic earlier, right? I think we're all pretty familiar with how Israel did. It wasn't that great, honestly. But man, was he bragging up the fact that, you know, you could track which people, you know, how they reacted to different things with this jab. Like if they had high blood pressure, if they were overweight, if they, you know, had diabetes, you know, he could just pull it. You could just purse the database, but that's not the right term. But, you know, you could just run the database, parse the database, you know, based on any of those findings, any of those conditions that are already present. Which, if you think about it, take this to the next level. So what if you're an insurance company and you want to see what the, you know, how many people are obese in a certain population before you decide to start offering your insurances for a certain population? Or more specifically, what if the insurance companies just, you know, have access to your data instantly, you know, based on whatever number you give them to get that information? And they just look on there and they go, oh, you're a few pounds overweight. You know, you're kind of leaning toward being morbidly obese. You're not working out much. You know, you think your Fitbit isn't going to be reporting that information? Google bought Fitbit. I don't know if I told you guys this. No, I better not tell you that. No, too dangerous. You don't have to. I'll just say it like this. You do not have to provide your Social Security number to get verified by Social Security. And I am not going to tell you how you can get verified, but it's terrifying. And I know because I just went through that process of signing up for Medicare. And I kept thinking, as a matter of fact, I had a little distrust, you could imagine, in the site that I was sent to log in or to create a login for Social Security or Medicare. So in other words, to get onto Social Security's site, they use a third party to create the security gate. So you have to go to this third party to create a username and login, and then you can get in using that username and login. It will open up the gate for you to get into Medicare. So I was pretty skeptical about that whole process. So I did not put any like Social Security information in any place expecting that they would ask for it later. Well, they never did. They don't have to, because they have that information. It's tied to you already. Via cell phone, maybe. Via email address, maybe. Via IP address, maybe. Via nanoparticles in your blood, maybe. I don't know. I do know how they verified me. Yeah, bank accounts, exactly. Anyway, so back to this story. So our federal government, our Department of Justice, couldn't keep a 23-year-old hacker from getting into the no-fly list. And any information that was in that list, people have access to because, you know, weak security. I told you the story about going to Washington, D.C. Well, that was back in the early days, man, when they had a lot less security than they do now. You notice I hadn't been invited back. That's because I retired from that. Yeah. Yeah, but they're going to protect the rest of your information. Yeah, right. You see this all the time, too. You see this information getting loose all the time. Not just the no-fly list. You see accounts get busted, get hacked in banks, in department stores, in online sites, you know. I don't know, especially with the power of computers today. You know, when you were probably in the last 20 years, they would tell you, oh, if you use 9 digits, it'd take way too long to hack 9-digit passwords. Hell, now we have machines that'll do it probably in seconds. Look at that ChatGPT or GPT. That thing will create, I mean, it purges information from the database. It purges information from the internet in seconds to minutes. That's a lot of computing power to go out and find all that information, put it in a, to compile it into a readable source, to actually apply all of the rules of grammar and, you know, linguistics to make it sound natural. That's a lot of computing power. Yeah, it's getting scary. It is getting scary. And this is terrifying. Honestly, so, you know, I have another story about the about aviation in here. Where in the hell is it? Oh, let me go find it. Oh, meet your new FAA leader. This is just awesome. This is from USAA. USSA News, thank you so much. Close the little advertisement there. It says, watch, Biden FAA nominee, so the guy who they've nominated to lead the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, can't answer a single question about aviation from Republican senator. This is kind of just a little bit sad. His name is Phil Washington, once the CEO of Denver International Airport. I mean, that should tell you something. Anybody can run an airport, you know, big or little. It's all the same. You have some little kiosks, maybe some restaurants. You got employees coming to work on the tarmac, some pilots, some, you know, it's a thing. But you don't have to know anything about flying, obviously, because this guy doesn't. Anyway, Phil Washington, once the CEO of Denver International Airport, is President Joe Biden's choice to lead the Federal Aviation Administration, you know, the agency charged with making sure planes get off the ground, stay in the air, and land safely and on time. GOP North Carolina Senator Ted Budd, a licensed pilot, had 7 questions for Washington that one would expect an FAA administrator to know most of. Instead, he managed to go a solid 0 for 7 in what has become a viral clip. And you know, here's the thing. I'm a pilot, private pilot. I have my actual pilot's license. I don't fly currently. I won't again. But you always have the license. I have my unmanned aircraft license also for the drone. Those tests are not easy. I mean, you don't have to be a wizard to pass them, but they're not easy. And I could imagine this pilot who is now a senator, a GOP senator from North Carolina. I could imagine him, you know, getting a chance. Like, oh, baby, I got some questions for you. And the questions he had, I didn't think were difficult. I think if you knew anything about aviation, you could take a stab at these questions. And I mean like a try and have an intelligent conversation about what you think the answer is. This guy had no idea. Because he's the head of an airport, it's kind of like, this is what this reminds me of. It's like he was the CEO of a restaurant, kind of, right? Or a mall, that's better. He was kind of the CEO of a mall, right? You have parking structures, you have parking, you have security, you have maintenance, you have workers, you have food courts, you have, you know, retail vendors. But you don't actually go drive the cars or fly the airplanes, but you need to know about that stuff, especially if you're going to be, you know, in charge of the FAA. It's a little bit bigger deal because, like, every single day, thousands of flights are your responsibility. You'd think you'd know a little bit about it, just a tiny bit. Maybe do a little primer before you go sit in front of, you know, someone who's going to verify whether or not you could actually handle this job or not. Terrifying if you're thinking about flying, honestly. You got pilots who they've changed the standards so pilots can keep flying because they were dropping dead in the cockpit. You know, you have workers now, a shortage of workers in all phases. Hell, I was talking about this again this week. About why have these workers not returned? You know, the dental field is short. I'm sure aviation field is short also. The people just said to hell with it. And they just went and did, I don't know what, but they went and did something else. And they haven't returned. So, you know, you think you're going to go get on a big plane and fly safely? Man, I don't know. I'm driving everywhere. Anywhere I have to go in the near future, I'm not flying. Mm-mm. Nope. Especially, they're going to confirm this guy. Have you noticed this? It doesn't matter, really, how freaking horrible these people are. They were talking to a judge here, somebody who was nominated to sit on the bench in a circuit court or something like that. And they were asking her questions about the Constitution, and she couldn't answer one single question about the Constitution. She was not familiar with the Constitution. And she's going to go sit on a federal bench. I don't know if she got confirmed or not, but I'm guessing she did. This guy will probably get confirmed. It's terrifying. I'm not kidding. It's terrifying. I'm not going flying. I mean, I guess the next way I would go flying, I would have to go get my medical and go get a kind of refresher, probably 20 hours refresher course, and just fly myself. Take these little private airports and just do hops until I get to wherever I'm going if I had to fly somewhere. I'm not kidding. That stuff's it's just scary. Let's see who else. Oh, my God. No, I'm not. Yeah, I will do that. Oh. Okay. You see this? I just want to make sure. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Fuel costs of electric vehicles overtake gas-powered cars. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the fuel cost of electric vehicles overtake gas-powered cars. Hey, while we're on the subject, did you guys have any idea that California is actually banning rooftop solar panels? Hang on. Literally can't make this stuff up. California. I don't know why. I saw the story like, I'll bet 2 months ago, and I haven't actually got to it yet. So it's kind of leaving the bottom of the stack of my notes here. Yeah, so California is banning rooftop solar panels. No kidding. Why? I have no idea. I have no idea. Probably bad for the environment, I'm guessing. Where in the hell are you going to put them? You know, and the thing is, mostly, I don't care how many panels you put on your roof, it's not enough to power the house. You have to go add another couple hundred outside to create enough power to literally power your house when the sun shines. I'm going to have to look into that system that Doug and Stacy on Off the Grid with Doug and Stacy have. They seem pretty happy with it. I could understand that. I mean, I could see some practical application if you're truly living off the grid and you have little devices to charge. Yeah, that I could see that working. Even the system I bought, which is 3,500 watt system. I think I might have that wrong. It might be 1800. I can't remember. I'll look into it. But I could see if I mounted those panels outside and mounted them in one certain spot where they would maximize the amount of sun they get on any given day. You know, it would probably keep devices charged, like a laptop and cell phones and, you know, emergency battery backups. It would probably keep those things charged over time. But, I mean, you're not going to run a washer and dryer off of it necessarily, or a refrigerator. I mean, you could probably keep it going for a day or so and hope to God you get, you know, really bright sunshine to keep that power pumping in there. But, yeah, you need so many panels. I know we do have a lot of people. I didn't mention this either. Most of them are sick. I think there's three of us who are not sick. So there's been three or four that have been sick or are sick. Well, five now. Yeah, it kind of sucks. I've been avoiding it. I'm telling you, the regimen has kept me away. I don't know. I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed. I just count my blessings. Anyway, so yeah, fuel costs of electric vehicles overtake gas-powered cars. This is a study. The cost of fuel electric vehicles in the United States is higher than the cost of to fuel gas-powered cars for the first time in 18 months, a consulting company said. And they go on to explain, you know, the numbers there. I think what's also, you almost have to add in the amount of time you have to sit at a damn charging station, right? You can pull into a gas station, I don't know about in the big cities, but pretty much anywhere out in the world, you know, you can roll in, pretty much roll up to a pump. In most states, you can pump your own fuel, so you get out, fill your tank. It's all automatic now with your magic card and all your ID and all your data attached to that card, feed it in the machine, and they're happy to take it, right? You know, these gas-powered cars are going to be sitting there for 20, 30, 40 minutes, hours sometimes, especially if it's cold. You've seen all the stories lately about it being cold and these cars won't charge. Right, until you do something they don't like, and then they just shut it off, right? I'm going to go back up here to the top because I think I missed an early story here. Nope, nope, nope. Yeah. Oh, power substations, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, seriously, you got to be prepared. You really have to be prepared constantly for whatever's coming at you. Because here, flights halted at Oakland Airport, 9,000 without power following major fire string of attacks across America, and actually even earlier today. Frederick, Maryland had a truck with flammable whatever on it, and it tipped over and wiped out, like set a couple houses on fire. And you know, I was looking at where that truck crashed. You know, and seriously, you don't, honest to God, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, right? But you look at some of these things and you're like, how in the hell did you do that? Like, how did you literally crash your truck? It doesn't look like a busy road. I mean, it probably is. Obviously, they had traffic blocked off for it or whatever. But, you know, it was pretty wide. It looked like it was well-maintained. How did you just freaking drift off and hit a tree and catch on fire? Seriously. Like, you're literally driving a hazardous, flammable chemical. You think you could, like, be a little more careful, but you probably got the jab and had a heart attack at the wheel, and that's probably what happened. But now that you're all burned up, we'll never know, will we? Nope, we won't. But yeah, you know, any of these attacks that take out power, I am so glad we started moving into a lot. You guys have some big surprises coming your way because we got the bug of off-grid living and we're making some changes. Now, we're not going to live. I know. We're not going to live off-grid unless we're forced to, but we're going to make some changes so that, you know, we can live on a lot less. And if we had to, hopefully we could live off-grid. I mean, it could happen. Oh, my God. This story is another one that's going to go off of my list. I have a minute to talk about it. It's organ harvesting admission comes from Chinese COVID deaths. According to the eulogy posted on Chinese social media by Zhu Yongxin, executive vice chairman of the China Association for Promoting Democracy. Over the years, Zhang Zhang has been fighting the disease tenaciously. He had replaced many organs in his body. He joked that many parts are not mine. You know, because China harvests organs and they sell them on open market so that you can have a kidney or lungs or heart and, you know, they'll get the profit. So this came out kind of during that time when the Chinese people were kind of rising up and saying, hey, we've had enough of this stuff. Oh, I brought to bring that story up so you all could see it too. Yeah, recent deaths of Chinese top officials and elites amid COVID surge expose an unspeakable crime. Because they were talking about, you know, of course, how these elites, you know, just take organs from the prisoners that they have. You know, they just take them in, you know, cut out their organs and, you know, and then kill them. Like, it could be a perfectly healthy slave, because that's what they are, prisoner, slave, living under horrible conditions, and they just take their organs and then, you know, they're dead. So that's always nice, right? Yeah. All right. So let's say this. Wednesday, there's going to be some postings, but there's not actually going to be a live show because I have to go to training. Don't forget, Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 hours of nonstop information. That guy is trying to help you with any kind, just to help you survive whatever's coming in a more legal, sense. Oh, like I've 7 seconds. And catch me every Wednesday and Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.